First off, I just want to say thank you to Gene. It's great to be here. Gene, it's an honor to call you a friend, mentor, and colleague, man. And to be here in front of you, I thought to myself as I was preparing, you know, why me? I imagine looking out in front of this room and seeing you gentlemen, knowing that there are tremendous stories that each of you have. So for me to be up here to tell you mine, it's very humbling. It's very humbling to say the least. But my hope today is that somehow the story that God is writing through me blesses you or enriches your life or helps you in some way, or someone here today helps you. You know, bios are a funny thing, right? I was reading one that, you know, Mark is going to share his story, and I read that, and I'm like, man, that guy sounds pretty smart. I'm like, but wait, that's me. You know, bios are funny. It's like the picture on social media where they say, hey, Mark, your family is so beautiful and amazing. It's like, yeah, but you don't know the before that picture and what happened after the picture and how much money I had to bribe my kids with to get that 1 second. And I was thinking, like, my story today is like a bio. The bio sounds great in and of itself, but what is around that picture, that snapshot, is really what makes somebody. And what's around that picture for me is messiness, fear, loneliness, mess-ups, mistakes, and a lot of learning. And that's what I hope to share with you in some of my story today. I'm just thankful to be here. And Gene told me about this podium. I was so thankful because now that I've turned 50, you know, a lot of things go away when you're turn 50. One of them is your memory. So I'm thankful, Gene, that you told me there'd be a podium here so I can have notes to make sure I hit on everything. But today is not my story. This is God's story that he's writing through me, which is part of what my learning has been. And I'd also like to tell you that by no means am I up here today to tell you how to arrive at the mountaintop of faith and life. I am in the middle of boot camp. I am in the middle of my journey. I'm getting worked. But that's where God wants me. And I think that's what might be the relevancy of my story. So before I go any further, I just read this morning, actually, and I want to share this before I start. Through collaborating with me in all things, you allow my life to merge with yours. This is the secret of not only joyful living, but of victorious living. I designed you to depend on me moment by moment, recognizing that apart from me, you can do nothing. And if only I could remember that every day. So I was born and raised in the city of the best Major League Baseball team in the world. Los Angeles. I know, no speaker 101, know your audience. I'm sorry, I just had to get that out there. But I had a great childhood. Basketball was a big part of my life. Any basketball players out here in the audience? Okay, yeah, I played basketball through college, so that was a big part of my life. And then right out of college, I started a job right out of college in sales at a company that I worked for 31 years. Fast forward a little bit, my wife was an aspiring opera singer, and I was working up this corporate ladder in this company, and they said, well, Mark, we have an opportunity for you to run the Northeast, and my wife was an aspiring opera singer. They said, hey, you guys want to take it? I said, yeah, let's do it. So we moved to New York, New Jersey. That was my first mistake, but there we go. My life was really picture perfect up until that point, until one day. My wife comes to me with tears running down her face, and she looks at me and she says, Mark, I haven't been completely honest with you. I said, what? She said, I've been having an affair. In the blink of an eye, my life went just 180 degrees to a place that I never even imagined as a possibility. And my world just crumbled. I went into a place that I never thought I would be in. Basketball player, started a great career, my family never had any problems. All of a sudden, here I am, my wife telling me I had an affair. Total embarrassment, ton of shame, just by myself crying every day, crying out to the Lord, like, God, what are you doing? And so my prayer was for restoration. You know, I fought for the marriage. It didn't happen. In fact, the next 6 months were just a day after day of my heart being just torn apart as she decided between this other guy and myself. He happened to be the other lead in the Broadway show. She got the lead and he was the other lead. So it was just, it was just a recipe that happened. Anyways, there I was, and I was creating my story of how I was the victim and how she was terrible and my life was terrible. And I'm walking along the beach with a mentor of mine, I'm telling him my story now that I've crafted after a few months of this situation. And he stops and he says, "Hey, Mark, what is God trying to show you?" I was mad. What do you mean? What is God trying to show me? This isn't about me. This is about her, what she did to me. He said, "No, what is God trying to show you?" And for the first time in my life, I actually felt a physical change in my body of this moment. That question changed my life. And from that moment, I learned the value of asking questions to guide my life. What is God trying to show me? It changed everything. What's the most value I can take away out of this situation? And I just looked it up the other day when I was preparing for this. Jesus asked people questions over 300 times in the gospel. I thought, well, Jesus did it. Maybe I should do the same thing. This was really my first realization of taking my faith from my head when I first professed my faith when I was in eighth grade. But this was the first time it actually started moving into my heart, where I really started to know my faith. And so what did God teach me in this moment and this season? He really taught me what grace was, undeserved favor, empathy for other people, acceptance of other people, not to judge. He really started to sand off so many rough edges that I never knew I had, except had it been through walking through this specific situation of being cheated on and left. A lot of counseling, a lot of tears later, 3 years later, God is the great redeemer. I met my wife. You know, I never thought I'd be married again. I didn't think I ever wanted to be married again. I met my wife, Amy, today. We've been married almost 18 years. I have a daughter, Ellie. She's 14. She's going on about 30. And my son, Joey, is 13, going on 4.5. So they're like, I don't know what's happening, but they're going their separate ways. But completely blessed with that. So, and God really has used two stories to shape my faith. And that's the first story. Didn't know there'd be a second story. And I didn't know when the second story would happen, but I'm actually in the middle of it right now. So for the next 15 years, I've settled down with the family. I have this tension growing. It's a positive tension. But I'd worked for the same company for 31 years. I started packing boxes of light bulbs in high school. So looking back at my first wife, I can say, yeah, I mean, who wants to be married to a light bulb guy? Like, it's just not that sexy, you know? But I have this growing tension of, God, what else is out there? Not that what I was doing was bad. It wasn't. It was great. But I just felt this in my heart. God, there's something else out there. But what is it? Who is it with? And when is it going to happen? Well, took a while, but I finally got an answer. Fast forward to August of 2023. I'm sitting in Chick-fil-A with my boss for our weekly sync-up. He's one of the owners of the company. He says, "Hey, Mark, we need you to change roles." "Okay, boss, what do you need?" Everybody who here has played a sport? A lot of people, yeah. So after working for this company for 31 years, and they're a fantastic company, still great friends of mine, you don't want to be the guy on the team where the coach says, "Hey, Mark, we know you played first base, but we need you to play shortstop this season." You're not going to say, "No, coach, not me." Well, some guys do in the major leagues, but we probably wouldn't say that, right? And so I'm like, "Yeah, man, whatever you need, I got you." What I realized is they wanted me to do something that they also knew wasn't a fit for me. And almost turning 50, I was at a very position of possible compromising and conviction, and that was, do I roll up my sleeves and possibly compromise this opportunity to, is this God, is this the door, is this the window? Or do I just put my head down, stay devoted, and do what they need? Well, after he told me the change would probably be a 3-plus year plan, I jumped into a lot of prayer and discernment and talks with the wife. And my wife finally encouraged me to resign. So I did. It was a very positive resignation. A couple problems with that. Number one, I'm not financially independent. I did not have a financial runway to cover myself for 6 months, let alone a year. Another problem, didn't even have a resume. Didn't have an interview. Didn't know what I wanted to do. Except I just knew I wanted to help people. And I also knew I wanted out of the corporate world. That's what I knew. So all of a sudden, onto my search. God can do funny things when we have an ego. So I looked at my resume, and I'm like, man, who would not want Mark Harima? The answer was nobody. Nobody wants them. I got crickets, man. I got total crickets when I went into the market. And I was crushed. So God has me on my knees, just totally surrendering. Like, God, what do you have for me? And God, if you had told me it was going to be this scary, I wouldn't have done it. Found myself totally fearful, scared. There were no opportunities, but I wasn't going back to corporate. I wasn't going to compromise that. But I totally underestimated the change. I had an opportunity in my back pocket from another, from a manufacturer contact in the lighting world that I was in. And as it got a couple weeks down the road, I realized, and my wife said, Mark, you got to tell this guy if you're going to take this job or not. You can't just keep stringing him along. Well, I just had this pit in my stomach. And I'm like, I can't do it. I'm totally compromising why I left. And so my wife, being the bulldog that she is, and we actually met in the lighting business, and she's way better in the business than I am. So she said, Mark, so by the way, I take a year to make a decision. She takes 10 seconds. She said, Mark, I'll tell you what. You text Sam, the owner of the company, and you tell him, I will take your job if he'll give it to me. I'm like, okay. So I sent Sam a text. Hey, Sam. Amy wants to know, if you'll give her the same offer you gave me, she'll come work for you. He said, done in all caps. Like, yeah, absolutely. I want her way more than you. Done. So my wife takes this job. And what that did for us, guys, is it gave us insurance, and it gave us a steady paycheck, and allowed me to continue my walk to find out what I was going to do. At the time, I didn't realize it, but that was such a just a God moment of providing for us. Along this journey. So a gentleman of mine that was on my previous team said, hey, Mark, so now I'm back at square one, right? He said, Mark, have you ever heard of a group called C12? I'm like, no, what is that, like a high octane detonator? Like, what's C12? What are you talking about? He said, well, I just think you should take a look at it. And I said, okay. So I called corporate, threw my resume on the, you know, to them. They said, no, thank you. You know, we're kind of down the pathway with someone else. And I said, okay, yeah, great, whatever. Well, I got my first break. I got offered to teach a job at Kennesaw State University. And this is about 4 months later, so I'm super relieved. Teaching was something I thought I'd want to do. Well, they only had positions in the marketing department. And my experience was in sales and leadership. I'm like, well, there'll be enough crossover. Plus, college kids, they don't care. As long as I stand up there and I'm saying something, they don't care, and it'll be fine. I'll give them all A's, and it'll be great. Well, I started digging into the syllabus, and I'm like, this stuff is way out of my wheelhouse. And I am not equipped to do this. I started to have like little panic attacks and night sweats over it, and I realized, I can't do this. This is not right. So guys, I went from working for the same company for 31 years. I walked into that lady's office and I said, I can't do this. I resigned from my second job without even teaching a course. So there I am, now I'm back to square one again. Like, God, what is this? Like, what is going on? For 30 years, I didn't have an ounce of fear or disruption in my professional career. Now I can't find a job. I'm driving down 575. And I get a nudge on my shoulder, a prompt, and it says, hey, Mark, call C12 again. I'm like, well, at this point, it's either start doing dishes at the local golf shop restaurant where I live, or I'll give this a shot. And at this point, too, by the way, we were losing money. I was having health problems. I was waking up, night sweats, full just sweat. Super anxious. Got two kids. Like, what's going on? What's going to happen? What scared me about this opportunity is it was everything that I didn't think I wanted to do. I didn't want to be an entrepreneur. I always wanted to work for someone else. I'm an introverted, reserved, non-alpha male. And here was this opportunity in front of me of start a business, get out there, take a risk. I'm like, that's not me. Every personality test I could ever possibly take would say, that is not your guy. So I dug in and I started opening the doors. And of course, you know what happened is as I opened one door, another kept opening. And God just kept slowly dissipating the other opportunities that were in front of me, and there was only one road that I felt led and compelled to follow. What I didn't know is two things. I looked back at a journal entry I had written maybe a few years back, and I wrote out my dream job, what I would love to do, and what I was getting into captured all of those things. However, they're at the back of the cave, not at the front of the cave. In order to get to that treasure, I realized, after learning about the opportunity, that I had to walk through this cave of darkness and fears to get to that treasure. And I'm still in the middle of that cave. I'm not there yet. But I found my home about a year ago. Like Gene said, that's where we met, C12. But the past 18 months have been absolutely difficult. For those of you that have started your own business, you know that. The risks of starting a business, what if it doesn't work? How long is it going to take? When am I going to make enough money to feel like I'm providing for my family? Because I went from making a great salary, not to making a decent salary, I went to zero. Went to absolutely zero. And that's super humbling. And if I knew how, I said this earlier, but if I knew how hard it would have been, I wouldn't have done it. But that's part of the story of God in this situation. So he's revealed a ton to me in this time too. And I applied the same lesson I learned back in 2004, and that is, God, what are you trying to show me in this? And the Bible verse that sticks out to me now is John 1:38. Jesus is walking with his disciples, and he looks at them and he says, "What are you seeking? What are you seeking?" The pain that I went through wasn't necessarily the pain of the situation I was in. The situation itself is neutral. But as I was filtering it through my insecurities, what I learned is I was seeking money, I was seeking financial security, I was seeking my comforts and all the things that I knew as a believer I shouldn't do. But there I was, finding my security in my position, professional accomplishments, all the things that I knew I shouldn't have done, but that's where I was at. I've learned this truth, and that is the more I truly seek God, the further away I realize I am from who he wants me to be. And that leads me to loving grace and understanding grace more than ever before, because grace is the undeserved favor that I truly don't deserve. So where does this lead me today? Well, my faith walk has never been better, but I'm also, again, learning how far I am away from who God wants me to be. But my faith has definitely gone from my head into my heart, which is where God wants us. He doesn't want us to be a thought faith. He wants us truly in our hearts to love him and want to be with him. Still nerve-inducing. I'm still building the business, and I'm by no means have arrived. But this is where God wants me, in this place of surrender. But I'm overwhelmed by God's grace and goodness, for sure. And last thing I'd want to leave with you is just a lesson of courage, of one that I have been learning and learned. But it's on two sides of the spectrum. One is looking back, the courage to be patient. Because I was asking for God, show me what's next. But man, it was like 13 years. So there was a courage to be patient of God. I'll just show me when it's time. But then they have to have a courage when it's time to act. And that's interesting that how God does that, because they're totally opposite, we think. But courage to be patient, and then when it's time to act, have the courage to act. And lastly, grant us all, God, the courage to go and get to who you desire us to be. Let me just finish reading with what I started. Through collaborating with me in all things, you allow my life to merge with yours. This is the secret of not only joyful living, but of victorious living. I designed you to depend on me moment by moment, recognizing that apart from me, you can do nothing. Can I close this out in a quick prayer? Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for these gentlemen that I can just come here today and share and be a part of it, Lord, and hopefully be some sort of a vehicle or instrument or measure to help somebody somehow this morning. Thank you that you're writing all of our stories. God, give us courage as we continue to write those chapters each day. Courage in being patient for your direction, and also the courage to act when it's time. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your undeserved and endless grace. Amen.